today. Don't mind my voice. I'm losing it. I got saved in 1978 in Mill Haven Penitentiary. Lord said he's going to make a big old pussycat out of me. I was doing a life sentence for murder 10 years before parole. I've been out since 83. Clean. So it's good to be in a church that does prison ministry. I mean, I know there's other ministries going on here, but it does my heart good. You know, because they're people. They made a mistake. But they need the love of God in their lives. Amen? That song, Can You Pardon Me? Breaks me up every time. The one time I was a very hard person, and Jesus softened my heart. And that's what I'm all about, folks. It's about our heart. And that's why I'm hooked up with Refuge Ministry, because Alan Campbell has a passion for prison ministry, because God put that on his heart. He has a passion for the people to go in there. The Bible says, I was in prison, and you visit me. But it goes beyond the visit. We just don't want to see them get saved. We want to see them disciple. Amen? The reason why I do prison ministry, I came from there. All told, I did 17 years in prison. You know, but you know what? God showed me, he says, that's nothing. He said, it was my goodness that you focus on now. The 17 years, I don't focus on that because I give him the glory for saving me. Amen? Amen. We have a DVD that we like to show you folks, and it's about Refuge Ministries, and I think it's on 100 Hunter Street that Alan was on. Okay? Thank you.
A gentleman who's going to share his story with us, a story that at least the first half of his story not many of us would want to be a part of. The second half of his story is turning out to be quite exciting and good. And let's welcome to 100 Huntley Street, Alan Campbell.
Thank you. Yes. Now, I mentioned the first half because according to what I researched on you, Alan, if you took your life and spread it out here, about the first half of your life was apart from your knowledge of God and living for Alan, and many mistakes and choices were made that influenced your life that ended you up in prison. The second half of your life, many good things have happened. We're going to hear about that. But take us back. Alan, how did you get on this track that ended you up in prison?
When I was 16 years old, I got kicked out of my home and kicked out of high school. And I took the money that I had in my pocket and boarded a Greyhound bus and lived on the streets of Toronto for a year.
Now, why did you get kicked out of your home and high school?
I couldn't handle authority. Well,
okay.
And when I was 17, I became addicted to cocaine and got involved with the Toronto Mafia until I was 19. And a drug deal went bad when I was 19, and I almost killed someone and was sentenced to 4 years in prison. And I have now been clean since July the 4th, 1983, by the power of Jesus Christ.
Tell us about the ministry you're presently involved in.
I'm involved in a ministry called Refuge Ministries, and we do chapel services across Canada in the different jails, and then get those that make a decision for Christ discipled and mentored through a local church where they live.
I understand you have some sort of a kit, but first, before we talk about that, we have some pictures.
Okay.
Tell us what we're seeing here right now.
This is a young offender facility in Elsie Craig, Ontario, just outside of London where we live. And it's an open and closed custody for young offenders that we go into every week and do chapel services.
Is it kind of like a halfway house where they're in a transition?
Yes.
You have some sort of a kit that when these guys or gals that commit their life to Christ Jesus, they come out of the prison, you give them something to help in the process of reestablishing themselves in the community.
Right. They're provided with a release kit room, and they're given a list of community agencies, a map, basic hygiene products, and they're picked up by a volunteer who brings them to a place where they can get help with the needs that they may have.
Yeah.
But we don't reinvent the wheel. We focus very much on working.
That's good.
With what's already being done.
Tell me a little bit about Refuge Ministries.
Morning. How's everybody doing? We are so honored to be here with you this morning. As Larry mentioned, we were here about 3 years ago on a Saturday night. And we came when Pastor Devin was not here, so I guess we did okay because they invited us back. So I have the tremendous opportunity of being the founder and director of Refuge Ministries Canada. How many of you are not familiar with what Refuge Ministries does? Oh, cool. But what I want to share this morning is the most important thing that Pastor Jeremy has already touched on this morning, and that is this. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you made a decision for Him to change your heart? You don't need to have a tremendous testimony and have been in prison to have that done in your life. The great thing about sin is this. Sin is sin. Forgiveness is forgiveness. Jesus Christ only died once on the cross for the forgiveness of sin for everyone. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And whether you have done some things like Alan and I have done that have ended you up in prison, or if you simply don't have Him in your heart at the end of the service this morning, we would really appreciate the opportunity to introduce you to the Jesus Christ that changed our lives. Alan shared that he's been released since 1983. We kind of joke about that because we say as he was leaving, I was going in. And sometimes we even wonder if we were in the same cell or not. But I have now had the opportunity to be saved by Jesus Christ for over 24 years by only one thing, the relationship that I have with Him. And God wants to do that for absolutely everyone this morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with me to Matthew 28:19. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto earth, in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples, nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." When you make a decision for Jesus Christ, you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But it doesn't end there. We have to go from being a decision for Jesus Christ to being a disciple for Jesus Christ. Alan touched on it so well this morning. Refuge Ministries is not about being just a ministry that sees decisions made for Jesus Christ. That's terrific. That's great. But the real heartbeat of our ministry is to see them become disciples. They need to become disciples. 80% of those in prison are addicted. They were either high when they broke the law, or they broke the law trying to stay high. From someone that has been there, and I'm not going to take a lot of time this morning to share my testimony, but from someone that has been addicted to drugs, the person who's addicted doesn't want to be addicted just because they want to do the drugs. They're addicted because there's a deeper reason why they're addicted. It can be rejection. It can be loneliness. Here in Saskatchewan, 60% of the population in prison is Native. In Manitoba, the numbers are staggering. Larry and I were actually in Sask Pen and did a chapel service. There was a father and son serving time on the same range. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what you call a generational curse. They do the drugs, or they're addicted because of the loneliness or the rejection or what's going on in their heart. So they need to be taken from being just a decision to becoming a disciple. John 8:36. Please turn there with me this morning.
If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I want to share a really simple illustration with you that brings this home so clearly. You're standing out in the forest and they cut a tree down. If they don't dig the root up in the forest, what grows back? The tree. When you get someone discipled and take them from making a decision for Jesus Christ to becoming a disciple, then the Lord deals with the root issue, whatever that might be. And the way to get people discipled is to get them healed, delivered, and restored. Healed, delivered, and restored. Disciples, think about the disciples that became the disciples of Jesus Christ. They gave up absolutely everything to serve him. They had an outward focus, not an inward focus. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to be proactive, not reactive. We are the answer. The Church of Jesus Christ is the answer that everyone is looking for. The only true source of rehabilitation in the life of those that have served time in prison is this: a relationship with Jesus Christ. And through the cross of Jesus Christ, being given the opportunity, and not only the opportunity, but the power to overcome. Now, I'm not saying this morning that we come to church and we don't have needs that need to be taken care of. I'm sensitive to that fact. But you know what? In Jesus Christ, we're victors, not victims. Ed and I were talking this morning, and you really want to take those that are in prison two places. Number one, you want them to understand, you know what? You're not a victim. You're a victor. And the second thing that you want to do with them when they make that decision to accept Jesus Christ is for them to understand, you know what? You may have had a difficult life, okay? I don't make light of that. We don't make light of that. But there comes a point in time where you need to step up and you need to play the cards that you're dealt and get over it. And Alan and I are the last ones that you want to be trying to tell that it can't be done. Because I guarantee you that he will get in your face and reassure you that it can be done. So true disciples give up everything for the vision they believe in. Disciples were visionaries. They gave up everything to follow Jesus Christ. They had a livelihood. They had everything that they could have possibly wanted. But more importantly than any of that, disciples understand what it means to have a vision. Turn over with me to Genesis 15, verse 1 to 6. And we're going to talk a little bit this morning about how you go from being a disciple to becoming a visionary for Jesus Christ. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What is a vision? A vision is a personal, direct revelation of what you're to do for Jesus Christ that gives you a confidence about the future. Do you realize that everyone here this morning at First Baptist Church has a vision? Everyone as a Christian has a responsibility to carry out the vision that God has given you. I'm not coming here this morning and saying everyone here should be involved in prison ministry. But everyone here this morning should have an outward focus like the disciples did and have a vision of what Jesus Christ wants you to do. The role of the pastor in the church, Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Devin, is not to do. It's to equip. The role of the pastor is to empower you to walk out the vision that God has given you and have an outward focus. Now, I'm not saying that things don't happen where you need to be ministered to. Please hear me this morning. But we need to get outside of the church. The church needs to step up to the plate and be the church of Jesus Christ. We're either the church of Jesus Christ or we're not. There's really no gray area about it. So you get a vision from God, and you go to Pastor Jeremy or Pastor Devin, and you share that vision with him. Well, how do you really know that you have a true vision from God? How do you really know? There's four criteria for it. And the four criteria are this. It's got to line up with the Word of God. It's got to line up with what's in your heart. It's got to be confirmed by your pastors. And there has to be fruit from it. And if all four of those criteria are not in place, then you really need to question if you have a vision from the Lord. In our situation, what happened with starting the ministry is I didn't go looking for ministry. I really didn't. I would get asked to share different places, my testimony of what God had done. And we were in the Edmonton Young Offender Detention Center on a Tuesday night, and there was a 12-year-old boy whose role models were Jeffrey Dahmer and Charles Manson, and he accepted Jesus Christ. And that was great, and that was wonderful. But from the Edmonton Young Offender Detention Center, I went to get on an airplane to fly back to London and realized, you know what? There was nothing in place that would take him from being just a decision to being a disciple. And I met with our pastor in London, and I said, you know, I really believe that I have a calling to be involved in this type of ministry. And Pastor Carl, who is very wise, said, okay, I want you to write a business plan. I want you to be able to show churches and show people why there would be a need for a ministry like Refuge Ministries Canada. And he said, I want you to write a business plan. I want you to write down what you believe God wants you to do with this ministry. Turn with me to Habakkuk 2, verse 2, please. I would give you the page number, but the chances are my Bible's a little different than yours. Go ahead, Larry. Read it for us, please. So you have to write the vision down. And why do you write the vision down? More than anything, it allows you to stay focused on what has God called you to do. Because the devil, Satan, will try to sidetrack you from fulfilling the destiny and the vision that God has given you. Having a website on the internet, we get opportunities all the time to go and do ministry in different places. But because we know what Refuge Ministries is called to do, we can use our vision statement as a filter to determine whether we should be doing that or not. And more importantly than that, the Holy Spirit will tell you what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be. So what does Refuge Ministries do? I really have no idea. No, I'm just kidding. I was hoping you might know. But really, the vision of Refuge Ministries is really very simple. It's to equip the local church to do prison ministry in their community and provide them with the resources to make that happen. Since the interview was done on 100 Huntley Street, one thing that we're very excited about that God is really using, and we were really certain that we were supposed to do this, is we've now established a toll-free number that anyone that accepts the Lord and gets released anywhere across Canada can call as a first point of contact. And we're already starting to see some tremendous, tremendous fruit from that. We were in Saskatoon yesterday morning with the new chaplain from the Regional Psychiatric Center, Brent Cooper. And we did a one-hour prison ministry training seminar for all his volunteers that are involved in the prison ministry at the Regional Psychiatric Center. We're involved in doing the chapel services in young offender detention centers, and God's just doing some really, really incredible things. I want to tell you about Mike. This is so good what God did. Mike was a young man that was in custody in Blue Water, which is about an hour and a half from where we live in London. Why was he in custody? Because he stabbed the son of one of our board members. And if you know Kate, Kate's somewhat passionate, for lack of a better word, eh, Larry? Anyway, he was in a youth facility in Windsor, and they wanted someone to visit Mike. So Kate decided that she would go down to visit Mike. And she asked Mike, "Mike, while you're in custody, what would you like?" And Mike said, "Well, I would really like some chocolate milk." Of course, all the other kids in custody are like, "Don't drink the chocolate milk. You stabbed her son. She's going to put something in it." So Kate goes down to Windsor to see Mike and take Shannon, one of our other volunteers, with her. And Shannon's got the long hair, and he looks like a biker. And Mike thought for sure that Shannon and Kate were down there to settle the score with Mike. So they go down to see Mike, and Shannon has a woodworking business. And Mike says to Shannon, "If I get out of this facility that I'm in, would you ever consider giving me a job?" Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, Mike got transferred from Windsor to the youth facility where we minister, got a job with Shannon, is now released from Craigwood and doing really, really well. So that's just a very quick example this morning of one of the stories of what God is doing through the ministry. So I just want to mention that we do have a display table with newsletters. Larry has a CD available for sale, and I know he has a few with him. And our plan is not to take any home, so I'll leave that with you. And you were also given a response card with your bulletin this morning. The response card is to simply ask if you would pray for us, if you would like to receive our newsletter, preferably by email, because it does help us to do it more effectively and cost efficient. And thirdly, if you would pray about becoming a monthly supporter or Refuge Ministries Canada. It does cost money to travel and to do ministry. So I'm just going to ask you to think about that, and I'm just going to ask Pastor Devin to come and close.
Alan, you can't leave yet. I'm going to pray for you. Do you see why it's so important? I believe everyone seeks refuge at some time or another in their life. And Refuge Ministries is very important to continue proclaiming to the nations that we can find refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thank you for being here this morning. Thank you to all of you for being here from Refuge Ministries. And let's show them a First Baptist thank you. And know that you're going to continue to be prayed for. Amen? It's an important part of our ministry. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for Refuge Ministries. And we thank you for the vision you gave, not only to Alan here, who's standing here before you, but Lord, those who you even brought with him this morning. Lord, you've given and created a vision within the hearts of these individuals and also with us. And so, Father, we thank you that you create vision. We thank you that you give refuge and that we can seek refuge in you. And so, Lord, it's so fitting to hear this ministry and know that it is a place where you are proclaimed because you're the giver of any refuge. Father, we pray that as they continue to minister for you, that you will bless them. And, Lord, we don't know what that entails, but you do. And so we pray, Father, that as they get out of the way and proclaim you, that, Lord, people would see that they are victors, not victims. And so, Lord, to you be the glory and the honor in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen.